We now have our first reading from Genesis, and that will be read by Sue this morning.
Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its tops to the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse the language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad, and from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth.
We now have our second reading, which is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, and this will be read this morning by Catherine.
The promise of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
So here we are celebrating the birthday of the church. The coming of the Holy Spirit. So looking at the first reading we had, the Tower of Babel. All ancient cultures have myths and legends that came about to explain certain things about the world. For instance, if you visit the Giant's Causeway in Ireland, visitors may be given two versions of the origin of that strange place. The scientific version is that 50 or 60 million years ago, Antrim was subject to intense volcanic activity, and during that time, highly fluid molten basalt came up through the chalk beds and formed an extensive lava plateau. And as the lava cooled, it left pillar-like structures. I haven't been there. Have anyone here been there and seen it? So you know what I'm talking about, sort of. The mythic explanation is that the causeway is what remains of a great bridge that was being built by a giant called Finn MacCool to stretch from Ireland to Scotland, where he was challenged to fight the Scottish giant. And as with many ancient myths and legends, there is embedded within it a deeper reflection and commentary on life, a reflection on perhaps the ancient connection between Scotland and Ireland, but it's also something about ancient rivalry that has existed as well. And in the Bible, we see parallel phenomena, especially in some of the Old Testament stories. For example, this story of the Tower of Babel. You can almost hear a child, can't you, asking its grandparent, why do people speak in different languages? And in response, we hear the grandparent begin to tell the story of the Tower of Babel. The story itself is what we would call a myth or a legend, and on the surface of the story, it's not historically true. But you might begin to explore something of the inner meaning of the story, and one discovers that there is hidden wisdom there. Marcus Borg, a contemporary biblical scholar who died a few years ago, tells the story of a Native American Indian storyteller, and wherever he would be talking, telling his tribes the creation stories or creation myth, he would begin with the words, I don't know if it happened exactly like this, but I know the story is true. I don't know if it happened exactly like this, but I know the story is true. And when one comes to the story of the Tower of Babel, I believe it would be appropriate to preface that with the same words. I don't know if it happened exactly like this, but I know the story is true. In other words, I can't believe it's historically true, but if we have ears to hear, we can hear the wisdom and the spiritual truth embedded within it. Rob Bell puts it another way. A story like this is true, not because it happens, but because it happens. And it's reflective of our human experience. The story itself follows on from the story of the flood. So there weren't very many people left in the world, were there, at that point? And we read that all humanity, so all that were left and descended from Noah, had one language, one common speech. And they moved eastwards and they found this plain in Shinar and settled there. And it's in fact reference to Babylonia. And thus the origin of this story is probably again connected to the Jewish exile in Babylonia. And having settled there, we read that the people learned how to make bricks and began to build themselves a city. And next they desired to build a tower that would reach towards the heavens because they wanted to make a name for themselves. And the story continues that the Lord caught wind of their plans and came down to see what they were up to, and was clearly rather disturbed by it. Maybe if the people built a tower to the heavens, they might try and take heaven by force and usurp the power of God himself. And it's implied in verse 6 where God's voice suggests that nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. That really struck me. God seems to recognize that Humankind is pretty clever. So he decides to intervene before it's too late and confuses their language and scatters them over the world. In a sense, that's what he intended in the first place anyway, for that people would be spread right across creation to be stewards of the earth in every place. And this concentration in one place was against God's plan. Do note that he didn't destroy them. He just confused and scattered them. So he wasn't a vindictive God. He was just trying to reset things. And the Tower of Babel in the story is probably a reference to the ziggurats or pyramids of Babylonia. And the word Babel is a play on words. On one hand, it has overtones of the words Babylon, but also the Hebrew word of Balel, which means to be confused. For the Hebrews, listening to the Babylonian language in exile, it would have been a bit like saying, it's all Greek to me. It's all Babel or Balel to me. Here there is a commentary on human beings. We are all in our own way. We all want to make a name for ourselves. And sometimes that's not a bad thing. But often the rush of pride goes to our heads and we begin to think we are God. In the sense of being all-powerful, and in the process, our pride brings divisions. The message that we can become like God, that we are made in the image of God, and we can share in God's nature as we grow in love and humility and service, but many human beings are not interested in becoming God in that way. For many human beings, they want to become God by seizing power, through dominance and control, not through humble love and service. And the moral of the story is that humanity's pride and tendency towards domination and control leads to division between people, a fragmentation between communities. Communities and people are no longer able to live in harmony with one another. And don't we see a lot of that at the moment in our politics, present-day politics, international relationships, and even, sadly, more in domestic situations and even within the church? You can see where, when people don't work in love and in honouring God, their pride takes over and this fragmentation begins to happen. And perhaps this is where we switch over to begin to reflect on our other passage today, the passage from Acts, where we read the Pentecost story. The day of Pentecost was, and is, a great Jewish festival, the end of harvest, and also a remembrance of Moses receiving the law from God. That was why there were so many people in Jerusalem at that time. Did the Pentecost story happen exactly like that? Tongues of fire, violent winds, people speaking in different languages and tongues? I can't be sure. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. What is clear is that there was a life-changing event for such that people would have struggled to describe actually what happened, and maybe everybody perceived it slightly differently, but they were all changed. So what's the truth the Pentecost story is seeking to communicate? For a long time, theologians have suggested that the Pentecost story is the reversal of the Tower of Babel story. In the Babel story, the arrogance and pride of humanity brought division to the world and between people who were no longer able to communicate with one another and were scattered all across the earth. But in the Pentecost story, you have a movement in the opposite direction. People from all over the known world have come to Jerusalem, and through the gift of the Spirit, the former divisions caused by language are overcome. If I'd had all those people who were all reading different poems, if they'd all been reading the same poem at the same time, that would have been clear. You could have heard them. the apostles, those who are anointed with the gift of the Spirit of God, are able to communicate across the language barrier or divide as they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. And that previously terrified disciple, Peter, is transformed into an eloquent preacher. These uneducated northerners, you know, we have it in our country, don't we? They're northerners. How come that they are changed so dramatically? Quite a shock to the gathered crowd who expected uneducated people and were hearing them speak so eloquently and forcefully. Human sin, pride, arrogance, unbridled ambition brings division. But the Spirit of God, which is also described in other passages in the book of Acts as the Spirit of Jesus, heals divisions and brings people together. Sin divides, but love unites. And the message of this story is this: when people are truly begin to be moved by the Spirit of Jesus, when people begin to speak the language of Christ's self-emptying love, the divisions of this world begin to heal. But the more we act out of distorted, unbalanced self-interest, the world begins to fragment and become divided. When people begin to be moved by the spirits of Christ's self-emptying love, putting others' needs before their own, then an undoing of the Tower of the Babel story begins to happen all over again in our own time. I had to put this bit in. In The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, any addicts around here? Arthur Dent, the hapless human caught up in the events told in this story, at one point is offered a small fish, which he is instructed to insert into his ear. And they explain it's a Babel fish and will enable him to understand all the intergalactic languages spoken around him. This has perhaps a secular legend for our time, especially at Pentecost. In Ephesians, Paul speaks of the division between Jews and Gentiles, one of those ancient rivalries which seems to continue through history to our present day. In chapter 2, Paul says that Christ himself has now become our peace, who has made the two one and destroyed the dividing wall of hostility. His purpose was to make a new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and to reconcile them through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. And it's in the cross of Jesus which can heal our divisions by teaching us the way of self-emptying love. On Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the gift of the Spirit of God. It is none other than the Spirit of the crucified Christ that teaches us to speak the language of Christ-like love. The Pentecost story inspires us to believe that the healing of the world is possible. The story of the Tower of Babel can be reversed when people's lives are touched and moved by the same Spirit that was at work in Jesus. This is the birthday of the church, and we rejoice that the Holy Spirit is still active, still changing lives, still healing divisions, still giving hope that the whole world can be transformed by Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, showing undiluted, pure love. And we who follow the way of Jesus can know this power in our lives, power to transform, to teach and encourage, the power to break down barriers and heal divisions, to teach the world the one language, which is love. It can start with us today as we ask again to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that our lives may show forth this love to all we meet. Amen.